This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, September 24th, 2017. The 15th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. To the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Seek the Lord while he may be found. If you hear that, or if you read it, don't get caught up in this thing that the Lord may in some way hide himself from you as an individual, or that there is only a fleeting amount of times in which he will make himself available to be sought. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That is not an explanation or a manifestation of God talking about his own character. He's talking about you. He's talking about all of us. It's not about him, it's about us. What he's talking about there is opportunity. He is eternal, and he is infinite. We are finite. We are not eternal. We only have so many days in this life. Whether you live to be 150 years old, to seek God, the one who is transcendent, the one whom we cannot understand, is an overwhelming proposition if you spent 24/7 doing it. Most of us don't have 150 years. We have a fleeting amount of time to seek our Lord. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about your opportunity to seek him and find him. He wants to be found. He will never hide from you. He is always there for you to seek him. It is you who must take advantage of the opportunity to seek him. That's what he's talking about here. Seek the Lord while he may be found. He speaks this through the Holy Spirit as he speaks through the prophet Isaiah. And our Lord Jesus Christ himself speaks of coming to him. Knocking, and it shall be open to you. Seek, and you shall find. I always point out that if you look at the original Greek, when we talk about knocking and seeking, it should better be translated, keep knocking and keep seeking. It's something that never ends. That's what our Lord's talking about. We have to understand that when we deal with God, that we only have a limited amount of time to do it, and in that limited of time, that we have to do it, we have to do it right. Seeking our Lord is preliminary to receiving his mercies. Throughout the whole year of mercy, I used to point out that we're not getting the whole story on this. Heard about mercy, 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 and never about justice. Just this past week, from on high, on church blogs, and it was disseminated that, oh, if you act a certain way or if you do a certain things, then you're interfering with God's unconditional mercy. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as God's unconditional mercy. That is fallacious. It is a lie. You crack this book open, it is full of nothing but conditions for his mercy. That doesn't mean, oh, his mercy's limited. No, it's not. Absolutely not. Its source is an infinite and eternal God. His mercy is boundless. His mercy is unfathomably infinite. It is indefinite, but it is not unconditional. Listen to Mr. Hardcase up there. So it doesn't have anything to do with being a hard case. It has to do with what God says. That passage from Isaiah, Old Testament. Seek the Lord while he may be found. This is, drives home the point that mercy is not unconditional. I quote, this is in Isaiah 55. If you're taking notes, which I pray you are, go home, read it. The Holy Spirit says through the prophet, let the wicked turn from his wicked ways and let him return to the Lord, that he may receive mercy. To receive his mercy, you must do those things. Turn away from your wicked ways and return to the Lord. That's called conversion. We hear the word converted, saved. Well, we hear it so often that we can get lost in this Protestant-esque heretical view of salvation, that it is a definitive point in time. Oh, I walked the aisle, I signed this card, I did this, I said this particular prayer. That means I'm saved and I'm good to go. That is not salvation. We are saved at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were saved when he hung on the cross and none of us was born then. We have previously been saved. We are being saved right at this moment by learning of our Lord and understanding and deepening our appreciation of his truth. We will be saved to the uttermost when we leave this world and go to purgatory, or for those of you who are really perfect, go to the beatific vision. We have been saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. That is our Lord's admonition when he says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Who becomes perfect overnight? Okay, I'm not saying that it couldn't happen supernaturally, but for the vast majority of us, it is not an overnight proposition. But our Lord means what he says. It's just not a suggestion. Be perfect, or he's not using hyperbolic or exaggerated language. Oh, he doesn't really mean perfect. He means exactly what he says. He's God. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And if it doesn't happen overnight, what is he saying? You need to continually strive to be more and more perfect. And as long as I give you on this world, as long as you are trying more and more and more to become perfect, to be living a pious life, to get closer and closer to me, to be more and more conformed to my image, then we start to come to the fulfillment of this. This is what our Lord desires of us. It is a requirement of being one of his people. It is a requirement to receive his mercy, a sincere conversion. And conversion is turning away from something and towards him. When you look at something, even if you look at this, you can't be looking at this over here. You can't be looking at two things. Hence our Lord said, you can't serve God and mammon, things of this world. One or the other. One or the other. And that doesn't mean you negate things of this world. It just means you filter everything that you do with the things of this world through your understanding of God. Because you can't serve both. Conversion means that. It means turning away from something and toward God. This is what he desires for us. And now when we think about God, you know, who gets him? I hope you don't think you do, because you don't. You better not, because if you can get him, he's not God anymore. All right? He actually articulates that in this reading from Isaiah. He speaks to the prophet, he says, for my ways are not your, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. A lot of people read that verse and they think to themselves, oh, that means he's different than us. Well, that's kind of an understatement, all right? He's not just different than you, he's better than you. He goes on to say, as the heavens are higher above the earth. I like the older versions better because it says, as the heavens are exalted above the earth, so my thoughts are exalted above yours. Your thoughts are not what I think. You think you've got it down. You think you can understand things, but newsflash, folks, you can't. That's what God's telling us right there. He's not different than us, just different. He's better than us. We are sin cursed and fallen, and he is perfect. We have to appreciate that, because when we're seeking him, we have to understand what we're seeking. We must seek one who is far beyond our comprehension. We use this term transcendent all the time. Yeah? Those of you, if you're pressing, define transcendent. Transcendent, he is the creator. We are the creatures. He is eternal. We are finite. He is God. We're not. He thinks things and does things that we do not understand. And we cannot sit back and go, oh, you're God and everything, but I'll be the arbiter of what you do is right or wrong. No. We are seeking someone who is far beyond our comprehension. Well, then how can I seek him? You can't naturally, but supernaturally you can. Supernaturally, you can seek the will of God. You can understand that will as he opens your eyes. That's called grace. Another word that we use so often. What is it? Grace, simply stated, is God doing good things for you when you don't deserve it. Well, I go to Mass every day. I say my rosary every day. I say chaplets. I'm in this ministry. I'm in this legion. I do this, I do that. Praise God. That's a great thing that you do that. But guess what? That's expected of you if you truly want to serve God. It should be pervasive in everything that we do in life. It is the mystery of his grace that he does things for us when we don't deserve it. There is nothing that we do in this world, no matter how pious it may be, to deserve the good things that he gives us. It just doesn't happen. That's grace. He continues to do good things for us when we don't deserve it. That's grace. And there are mysteries involved in this whole thing. This whole idea of seeking this one who is transcendent, this one who we cannot understand. The only way, as I said before, that we can do it is by having our eyes open supernaturally and help out doing it. Because grace is mysterious. Some of the mysteries of grace. God is transcendent, but he's near enough to help us. Yeah, he is up there. He's in heaven, but he's also right here. All you need to ask, all you need to do is ask. He is this one whom we can never comprehend, but he is so close to you. All you have to do is simply ask, and he will allow you to move closer to him. We know from the story of creation, we're all proud and we're all, you know, we think we're all that in a bag of chips, okay? How does it say that we were formed? Like the newer versions say we're formed out of the dust of the earth. I like the older versions. It really drives the point home. We're formed out of the slime of the earth. Darn, that sounds kind of gross. It is. We're formed out of the slime of the earth, and then St. Paul tells us that after the fall, we're dead in trespasses and sin. Boy, that bodes well for your eternal destiny. Okay, I'm slime, and I'm dead in trespasses and sins. What are you going to do for yourself? That's one of the mysteries of grace. Man is totally helpless, but we are required to act in seeking our Lord. We're required to act energetically. Well, how does a dead thing act energetically? It can't. It's got to be helped. It's got to be reanimated, brought back to life. And the Holy Spirit does that for us. That's grace. We are helpless, but we are called to act. That's contradictory. No, it's not. It just is a manifestation of reality. You can't do it by yourself, but you can do it with him. Another mystery of grace is what we talked about before, about God's ways being exalted above ours. God's ways are exalted, but we are required to emulate them. You are called to be perfect as your Father in heaven is in perfect. How can I be perfect as God? You can't of your own nature, but you can with his help. They're called saints. There are human beings who have done it before. There are examples. I always point out this whole, I can't do that, I can't. It is not a matter of can't. It is a matter of won't. This can seem overwhelming to us, but it should be just the opposite. It should be a constant encouragement to us. Because when we read this, we seek the Lord while he may be found. As I said before, he's eternal. He's not going anywhere. We're the ones that are going somewhere. So he's saying, hey, you got to work through. You only got a little bit of time. Work it. It should be constant encouragement to continue to begin this seeking. If you haven't ever sought him, if you've ever known Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have to start it somewhere. Seek me. Let the wickedness go away. Turn toward me. Begin. And if you've begun already, and oh, I've been out of the church for so many, begin again. Oh, I did that. Begin again and again and again. That is what our Lord is talking about. We heard in the gospel, in the homily last week, harped on this 70 times 7 thing. I said, why does God require of us to forgive others 70 times 7, which I pointed out is Hebrew for an unspecified number indefinitely? Why does he require us to do that for others? Because he's done it for us. He forgives us an unspecified number of times and indefinitely. That's this begin again, again, and again. Seek me. If you sought me at one time and you found me and you lived a pious life and then you fell into something, seek me again. Seek me again. And this doesn't just apply, oh, I fell away and I'm out of the church for a few years or many years. Every time we set foot in this place, every time you set foot in the place, you should be seeking him. What's new today? What is it? That's why it's so important to avail yourself of what he's given us in these means of grace. He's given us the sacraments. He's given us sacramentals. He's given us all these things to constantly seek him. It's just not about your mass attendance on Sunday or days of obligation. It's about what you do throughout your week to get closer to him. It's this constant seeking because he wants us to begin again and again and again. That is what this is all about. This should be constant encouragement for us. He is God and we are not. Well, he couldn't forgive me for this. Don't put your parameters on God. We love to do that. Oh, that's not fair. Says who? Well, because I think that's not. Who cares what you think? Fallen sinner? Slime? Dead in trespasses and sins? And you're going to put you're going to put your stuff on God? That's not fair. That's what the gospel was today. It's not fair. We've been out here all day working in the hot sun. Didn't I say this morning that you work all day and get a denarius? Yeah, but they just came out for 1 hour. They didn't. So what? It's my stuff. I'll give it to whom I want. Am I unfair? But that's what that person. That's what God's telling us. He's the arbiter of fair. Everything is his, including his eternal salvation. So when we understand that eternal salvation is his to give, we just need to seek it. It should be an encouragement and a catalyst for us to not delay this one moment. And I'll end with this. These are the words of St. Augustine. And he talks about this idea of, well, I'll put this off. I like doing this and I like doing this. I'll wait. St. Augustine says this. St. Augustine. I quote, do not say, tomorrow I will be converted. Tomorrow I will give thanks to God and all my sins will be forgiven. It is true that God promises forgiveness for your conversion, but he does not promise tomorrow for your delays. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.